is the Disaster Recovery Hour. Here's your host, Chris Plunkett.
Good afternoon. It's the Disaster Recovery Hour. I am your host, Chris Plunkett, here at WVNJ, 1160 AM, The Voice, every Tuesday between 1 and 2. As you know, at Disaster Recovery Hour, we talk about disasters, talk about the mitigation of disasters and what we can do to prepare for disasters. And we just rolled into another one, I think number 3 or 4 for the year, this past weekend with the snow. We're going to get into that later on. DRHradio.net is the website with the comments page, because I want to give that out right away, because I have two guests in my studio today, future assemblyman for the 38th District, Fernando Alonso, excuse me, who's a director at FDU, that's a Fairleigh Dickinson University here in Teaneck, and also the mayor for the last 3 years, Rich Goldberg, and also 11 years on the council for the township of Hawthorne. And one of their platforms, if you will, right, guys? It's about the flooding, and that is directly related to our program. And I thought it would be a great show to have the guys who are going to be fighting for this fight. Because now, after three storms in the last 3 years on the flooding issue, I've become friendly and become friends with people. I've repeatedly gone back to their homes, and you know, to see that distraught face and you know that give up look in their eyes now, but about moving away or what is my government going to do? And you know, we talk about on the show about, you know what, there's a preparedness you should do. You shouldn't just wait for your government to come take care of you. You should be proactive and due diligence. But Mayor, why don't we start with you? Because I know the rest of the districts have kind of followed suit with, and you guys were the first to initiate, you know, instead of just grabbing headlines, you know, you're trying to do the good of our local American citizens about the flooding programs or where we can move and correcting our issues.
Well, thank you. I don't think there's anyone in our legislative district who is not affected by flooding, whether it's the Passaic River, the Saddle River, some of the local creeks and streams. And we've seen from really the DEP not a whole lot in order to make it easier for us to deal with it, whether it's the snagging or dredging. And it's been a crying point, and Trenton just never seemed to pay attention. And then our running mate, John Driscoll, who's the freeholder chairman for Bergen County, set up this flood advisory board where he involved the towns in Bergen County that have suffered particular losses, and to put together this committee to discuss what the fixes are. It's amazing what success breeds, because once he did that, that became a high priority for our opponents, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden, after 8 years down in Trenton, Bob Gordon's concerned about flooding.
Yeah. Fernando, you as being in the public eye with students and such, I mean, these are their future residents who are going to own homes and things of that nature. I mean, it's got to be something that you constantly think about. You live in my neck of the woods over here in the Bergen County part. You're amplifying that in which manner?
Well, look, by the way, at FDU, what they did was, I thought, extraordinary. They had, we're right, our campus is actually split down the middle by the river. And what they did was they used the Rothman Center, where they usually have the baseball games and all that, and they had a lot of students living there. Plus, it was open to whoever could get there during this particular situation. So we're working hard in terms of trying to figure out what to do by helping John with his advisory board, if you want to call it, mm-hmm. Getting some kind of a strategic plan. I think is the best I think can do is to have government and private enterprises working on coming up with solutions. Because this thing is getting worse. Every time there's some kind of a storm, what we find out is that the power's gone. Of course, you know, you have trees falling down and all that. But mm-hmm. my understanding, and I'll give you something that hits me, is the Milford substation. My understanding is that there's some kind of a switch box, and they have it constantly underwater. So, you know, we got to come up with some ideas about resolving this issue so that you don't knock out the poor people of New Milford who are right now still out of power. A majority part of that town is.
Yeah, you know, we had the snowstorm in late January, early February this year. So we went over budget on the municipalities across the state.
Yeah, that was the day after Christmas.
Day after Christmas, right? And you had, I know we're still fighting that. And then we had in March, we had the floods with more rain. That's 3 years in a row or 2 years in a row. I was busy. Unfortunately for the people, I was busy. They had to meet me professionally. And then, now you're coming on with this one. Forget about, you had Irene and now this. So basically four, probably five or six, two others that I'm missing out. people are frustrated, but you know what? You just don't want to say, okay, you know, we need money. You need a solution prior to the money.
Well, I'm grateful to some extent that the state has stepped up with this Blue Acres program,
mm-hmm.
where they're offering to buy out residents in flood-prone properties. The good news is that there's a chance to get out, but they're not paying a whole lot, and people who've invested their entire lives in their right. houses probably won't come out whole, but at least they'll be able to get out. I know in Hawthorne, we made an application to purchase three properties through Blue Acres.
And now, how is the process from there, from Hawthorne doing that to getting it to the, it goes to the state, then to the Fed?
It goes to the state and then to the Fed. We will be holding shortly a public hearing on the properties that we're looking to purchase. Basically, it's 75% coming from FEMA with a 25% match coming through the Blue Acres program, which is part of the open space project, which means that if you purchase these homes, it can only be open space. They'll never be developed again. So it'll just be, in some cases, little mini parks, I guess.
Yeah. And it's kind of a catch-22 from a layman's purpose. You know, I watch the news and I read the news. You know, we need ratables, right? We need businesses to stay in the business. And you know, my buddy Andy Weitzberg from the ACP of Long Island, the president out there, always talking about keeping the businesses up and running. But you also need the people to come in and buy the products or the services, whichever, you know. And so it's really, I mean, for me, again, and you guys have a daunting task with that, you know, because, you know, it costs money. And, you know, we're in such a strain right now. It's, Fernando, how do you contend with that?
Well, look, we're in an economic crisis, if you want to call it, and we've had such major issues trying to figure out how to distribute the funds that the state has. And so trying to come up with some ideas there, it's like I said, it's going to have to take a little bit with the public entities, but also with private entities. We're going to have to get involved, PSE&G and everyone else, to come up with some solutions on how to resolve some of these issues. But I was just wanting to follow up on something that was said before. Obviously, the Blue Acres is a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading, and there was a gentleman who was, or was it a woman? I forget. It was in the papers, and an engineer who was talking about the problem of flooding. She says everybody talks about the level of water and how you have to reduce the level of water so you don't have the flooding further down the stream. But mm-hmm. she was saying there's also is the rate or the velocity of the flow of water. And I think that's something that can be done to help alleviate the problem. So we have the ingenuity. We have the people that have great ideas. We just got to get them together to come in here and really address this issue.
So it's a public and a private issue.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a strategic partnership between right. both, and I think it'll be better solved in a better way.
We have a web question. It's from Jack. Will this advisory board be redeployed in time for this winter? It could be a bad one, guys. On Mr. Driscoll's advisory board, is it going to roll over into that? Or
I hate to speak for what Bergen County is doing because I'm a Passaic County mayor,
mm-hmm. right.
so I'm going to take a pass on that, but I would hope that they will deal with some of those issues, but I can't tell you for sure.
Now, I think this advisory board, and I'll talk with John, but from my understanding, this is something to be put in place now to continue, so to get more people involved. So this is something that they it's going to be on a continuous basis to deal with a lot of these issues this winter.
Yeah, you know, again, I always kind of go back to Andy Weitzberg. Want to make sure that the SBA Public Affairs is in tune today. ACP is Association of Contingency Planners for business and the public side to get together because, listen, I mean, you guys have so much, or you will have so much on your plate that we always talk on the first responder side, my guests in here, they're willing to take advice and open-minded for the private sector to give them, say, listen, in our district, this is what we're looking for, and you as first responders can help us or FEMA can help us along these lines. But in the years way back in the day, it was more like, okay, we know what we're doing because we're the officials and the private guys don't. But now there's that collusion going on.
Well, I think the thing that you find is FEMA's always said, in the case of emergency, we won't be there for 72 hours
right.
minimum,
right.
which means that the first response comes from the people who have boots on the ground. That's
mm-hmm.
our
right.
volunteer firemen,
right.
our EMS, our paid police departments. And unfortunately, because we've been doing this so often, we've gotten very good at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
doesn't make it any easier for the people who are flooded for the fourth or fifth time this year, but it gives us an opportunity to at least be prepared, and we find the key is proper record keeping. We know FEMA's coming in. We've got to know how many man hours we have in, mm-hmm. how many truck hours we have in, what our overtime expenses are, because the key to becoming whole again is good record keeping.
Right. I know I heard through the grapevine when I was down in Florida on one of the hurricanes that I was talking with a FEMA guy, and they talked about some of the states don't have, like you said, their books in order, and because there is federal funding out there, but, you know, prove the fact that I can give you, say, you know, $100. Here's $100, but just, you know, prove that you can...
Right, show me how you spent it so I can give it back to you.
You know, so it does go back to, you know, the onus is on the state side, right?
Well, the onus really is on the individual municipalities to show how they spent their money. If the state's expecting money back from FEMA, they have to show how they deployed their equipment and manpower and how they were helping. If we go back to Hurricane Irene, I think the governor just did a phenomenal job at keeping municipalities, mayors. We had a mayor's conference call almost daily where we get a status update from the governor and Superintendent Fuentes from the state police, which really helped. We were told, if you need help from the National Guard, don't call us. Call your county emergency management center. They'll put in the request. So, again, it's information. And it's record keeping, and it's following the chain of command that works best.
Yeah. We're going to go to station break, be back with the guys, the mayor, and future assemblymen. Be right back.
If you missed part of today's program or you want to hear the show again, you can do so with the Disaster Recovery Hour podcast. Just go to www.drhradio.net, enter your email address, and the show will be delivered to your inbox. Keep you and your family safe by getting information on being prepared with the Disaster Recovery Hour podcast, available at drhradio.net.
Do you know that there are some emergency shelters that have no emergency backup generators? You can be prepared and have your own emergency generator for your home and business. Hi, I'm Dan O'Brien from Academy Electrical Contractors Incorporated, a full-service electrical contractor servicing the tri-state area since 1981. Our specialty is generators. We give you a complete turnkey installation, service your existing generator, rent you the temporary machine for that planned shutdown or that unexpected power failure. Academy Electrical Contractors can install a generator to protect your family and business from a power grid failure. Power your heating and air conditioning system, keep your refrigerator and freezer running, power your well pump, or power your sump pump. Visit us on the web at academyelectrical.com. That's academyelectrical.com. Or give me a call at 877-SPARKIES. That's 877-772-7597. Academy Electrical Contractors, generating satisfaction 24/7 since 1981.
When disaster comes into your life and attacks your property, you need action fast. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP will find the visible and hidden damage caused by a fire or flood. With quick response and correctly applied damage mitigation protocols, ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP can save you valuable time and money and get you back in the game of life. Anytime disaster strikes, quick, focused action is what can save your property. CPP's professional staff is on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. To reach ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP anytime, visit them on the web at www.cppems.com. That's cppems.com, cppems.com. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP, servicing the New York metro and tri-state area.
Sally Field for Wounded Warrior Project.
There are so many things that we take for granted in our lives, but one thing that we should never take for granted are the brave men and women of our volunteered armed forces who daily risk their lives for our freedom. Some of these brave warriors have suffered catastrophic injuries. Some will suffer the effects of traumatic brain injury for the rest of their lives. The Wounded Warrior Project was created to help and support these injured heroes. Regardless of your position on the war, they deserve our help. Please consider the many ways that you can get involved. The Wounded Warrior Project's motto is, "The greatest casualty is being forgotten." Let's continue to help make this generation the most well-received group of injured veterans in our nation's history. We owe it to them. To learn more, call 877-832-6997 or visit woundedwarriorproject.org.
We're back. Disaster Recovery Hour every Tuesday between 1 and 2 with Mayor of Hawthorne, that is Rich Goldberg, mayor of the last 3 years and a councilman prior to that for 11 years, and a future assemblyman and also a future assemblyman for the 38th District, Fernando Alonso. He's a director at FDU. Guys, we're obviously the topic today, and one of the topics for me always is about flooding, and that's why I wanted to get your ear on what's cooking out there and what the, you know, our Bergen County, Passaic, and the other counties. And also, you know, talk about, you know, as Westchester gets hit, but it's kind of a different flooding, and the island is a natural sandy beach anyway. But so we're focusing on today on the Jersey end of it, and Mr. Mayor, during the break we talked about the you know, the advisory board and who's on the board, but primarily it is still again the public and the private getting together, and it's temperamental because one town sits on the next to a town and flowing goes downhill. So one of my questions is, can the state put pressure on the PSE&G to be more prepared? Is that something that's is it a talking stage, or is it like saying, listen, guys, enough's enough?
Well, I think it's tough to say to a company, we'd like you to have 60 crews at standby at all times. It's just not financially reasonable. Mm-hmm. The response out of PSE&G is they brought crews from as far as Georgia and Florida to come up to help restore service. You know, the difference between a minor outage and a major outage is when it happens to you, it's a minor outage. When it happens to me, it's a major outage. So it's a question, really, of ordering the priorities. Does it make sense financially to have crews on standby that you're not using all the time for the chance that you might need them? I think that they use mutual aid much the same way that municipalities use it. They reach out to other utility companies to come in and help. I think overall the response by the utilities have been pretty good in this latest one. The biggest problem with this latest storm is there are so many tree limbs and trees down, and they're wrapped around the wires that the local municipalities won't touch them until public service comes in and makes sure that the lines are dead, so that we don't have anybody hurting themselves.
Right. Someone told me a story. Yesterday was Halloween, so I was able to steal a couple hours at my kid's Halloween party. And a guy was telling me about being up on the ladder and taking a tree limb off the wire out in front of his house with the metal rake, you know, so really sharp individual. but I like him. He's a good guy. I did proceed to give him a good ripping for that. But, you know, that's the kind of stuff you see in the paper.
Yeah.
You know, so it's that liability thing is always right there on in the peripheral vision of it. Another question was the interesting point from Ken was the water velocity, and Mayor, you were talking about that. I mean, how much do you let go? You know, you got to make a conscious decision of flooding an area. You know, that's got to be difficult on the end of decision.
Right. I mean, as we discussed earlier, when you have floodgates, the question is, do you flood the people upstream or do you flood the people downstream? Because there seems to be no magic formula for just the right amount of water to let out.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes, they're erring, I think, for the upstream people because that's where the gates are, and that's probably where most of the pressure is. And we see the results downstream. Certainly we do in Hawthorne when the floodgates are open on the Passaic, and it's a problem.
And again, that's where this advisory board, I think, will come into play because, we were talking before off the live show, that the people from Lodi will be affected by some of the things that maybe Saddlebrook would do. Even though everybody's trying to do the right thing, some things have consequences. And unfortunately, what you have to have, which is what's really great about the advisory board, is that they have some of the elected officials being involved and the people that work in these industries to make sure that they have some kind of coordinated and project, but also, more importantly, the communication with them so that they can resolve this issue.
You know, second point of Ken's question is rerouting water expensive? That's got to be a tremendous expense.
It is very expensive, and water seems to find the easiest way to travel. You know, sometimes you'll see water dripping from one part of your roof, and you say, oh, the leak must be over here. But it's actually on the far end of the roof. It's just the way water travels.
Yeah, I make a living off of it.
That's right.
Disaster Recovery Hour, if you just joined us, we're every Tuesday between 1 and 2 p.m. Today in the studio with me is the mayor of Hawthorne, Rich Goldberg, and also going to be a future assemblyman for the 38th District. I'm a positive thinker, along with his running mate, along with Mr. Driscoll, Fernando Alonso. Now, Fernando, you and I live in the area where we have the Pascack Brook and we have the substation, so we're always making the news in our neck of the woods of Bergen County. And don't turn off just because it's Bergen County. You guys can, you know, Sussex and Passaic, and you guys in Westchester can still listen. But, you know, we always see that constant, what the mayor just said about how much water, who gets flooded, and making that decision. That substation gets flooded pretty regularly. But it's a cost effective. You know, it's like Homeland Security, you know, really in the forefront after 9/11. Do you, prior to 9/11, do you, as somebody running for office, say, I'm going to raise taxes because we have a nut job in the Far East who wants to kill us? And people say, hey, nothing's happened yet.
That's right.
Yeah, but, you know, it's funny, too, because when you look at so many different storms and, you know, hurricanes that have come at us, they go back to the same thing. And we still have these substations being flooded. I think it's time now for them to come up with a solution to lift it. And it's funny. That, I mean, that's one of them. I'm not an engineer.
Right.
But
right.
I heard, and this again, I just heard this from some people. So, yeah, well, they're thinking about lifting it 2 or 3 feet. I'm saying to myself, 2 or 3 feet, I think, is not enough. I think they should be able to lift it up at least, you know, 5 or 6. I'm not even sure if they should be able to move the substation somewhere else. But every time we have some problem, what you're seeing is a large area of people are losing power. And this is just, you know, once, okay, twice.
But you see, part of this, too, becomes a NIMBY problem because no one wants a substation staring them
right,
in the face.
Right, right, right.
So they say, well, bury it. We will never see it. And then they bury it, and it floods.
Right.
So a lot of it is the responsibility of knowing that if we're going to raise this substation, I'm going to have to look at it, but it's going to be beneficial to me because it means fewer blackouts.
Right.
Sure.
Yeah. And, I mean, the cell tower issue is the same, right?
That's correct.
So, and you know, does PUC&G or the municipalities go ahead and, not arbitrarily, but make a plan to cut trees down in a certain neighborhood when there's no storm? People say, hey, that tree's 125 years old. You know, what are you doing cutting it down?
We have a very active shade tree commission in Hawthorne, and people will constantly petition to have trees removed, and the shade tree will say, no, it's a healthy tree. There's no reason to take it down, or maybe it needs a little pruning. So there's also a difference, as you said, when it's not in a storm, between people who want to remove trees who may be potential problems and the shade tree that says, no, this is a perfectly healthy tree. There's no reason to remove it.
Yeah. Now, there's a couple of things on the table to resolve the flooding. What are they?
Well, some of the things we've talked about is making it easier to desnag the brooks and the streams. Part of the problem is the DEP owns everything that's in the water and everything that's in it. You may own up to the bank, but if you want to put your foot into the water to take something out, you need permission from the DEP.
Wow.
They're now making life a little easier, but it could still be easier yet to allow us to go in and to desnag. In some places, you may want to make the channels a little deeper, but you need permission to do that. In Hawthorne, we used to have a natural detention pond in the Goffelbrook Park, which for us was a skating pond growing up. That's just gone. That used to hold a tremendous amount of water. Now it's holding none. That water's got to go somewhere.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know, and development has an issue. So what other things that are being discussed? The rerouting of water. I mean, that's dredging.
What dredging? I mean, what one of the things we're doing in our county park in Hawthorne is armoring the banks, because what's happened is we've seen the water changing property lines of the people who live adjacent to the park. Mm. It's eating away at their property, and it's we've tried for 3 years or more to get a permit from the DEP to allow us to armor the banks in the park. It's a county project, and we're hoping to get started maybe in the spring. It's just been a horrific experience trying to get through the red tape at the DEP.
Oh, okay. So there, I mean, there is. Now, do you, you know, when it's red tape, do you know as you know there's a fight there? I mean, you can see it. It's a tangible thing that you need to break through. So does that make it less? I don't know what the word would be for it, but at least, I mean, you have a purpose and a direction you can go in. Of course, there is red tape. Does it make it easier that way, or not knowing?
Well, it helps if you know what your obstacles are, and right. A lot of our engineers and engineering companies know what to expect when they go to DEP. But when we went to armor the banks, for example, they wanted us to hire a historic landscape architect to discuss what kind of replanting we were going to do. And then we came to him and said, this is the guy that we're going to hire. And they said, no, he's too expensive. Well, there are like two in the state. So you're going to hire one or the other.
Right.
And then we brought him in. He made his decision. And DP said, no, we don't like what he wants to plant. More delays.
Right, yeah. Right. And that and you know, you're not having these meetings. They're not like private can have a meeting, a follow-up meeting the next day. Your meetings are going to be scheduled, and so there is a, again, referring back to the proverbial red tape. The website for the 38th District is www.nj38th.com. That is www.nj38th.com. We'll go to a break, and we'll talk about some of these final thoughts on the flooding. Listen, guys, I'm going to be busy. I'm only getting busier because of the flooding, but I prefer not to see the same faces over and over, you know. So let's go to a break, and we'll sum it up after that.
When disaster comes into your life and attacks your property, you need answers. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP is the answer. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP is a full-service emergency services and restoration company. With 25 years of experience in emergency management and restoration, our seasoned team of skilled professionals is ready to assess damages and restore your property to its pre-loss condition.
Who do I call first? What about insurance? Is it safe to stay here? What do I do next?
Fire, smoke, water, or mold, ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP restores your property and your peace of mind. To reach ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP anytime, visit them on the web at www.cppems.com. That's cppems.com, cppems.com. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP, servicing the New York Metro and Tri-State area.
Sergeant Jason Nielsen was paralyzed while serving as an MP in Iraq.
The sniper from down the alleyway shot me. 6 weeks later, I woke up at Walter Reed, not really knowing where I was at.
Paralyzed veterans of America's National Service officers, such as Sherita Latham, are trained to help injured veterans get all the benefits they've earned.
I could call Sherita at 11 o'clock at night and she would answer the phone and be like, what can I do for you, Jason?
If someone needs you, you listen to them. If they call, we're there for them.
She worked with my wife hand in hand, took care of everything for me just so I could focus on just recovery and trying to get on with life.
If there was no PVA, we wouldn't have the benefits that we have. We wouldn't know about the benefits.
To learn how you can help paralyzed veterans, visit pva.org.
I know it's tough to hear me with this firefighter's air pack on, but it's the only way I can be in this smoldering pile of ashes that was my office. And I could get in trouble, but I hope you won't make the same mistake I did, since at least one in four businesses that suffer this type of loss never reopen. So here goes. Just 3 days ago, we sat in this melt-comes-to-be-a conference room talking about how good things were. Over there was the tech room. The fire's bad enough, but the water damage really gets me. Look. Here's an article describing us as visionaries. I should have done our disaster plan, but with everything else, I just didn't see this coming. Visionaries, huh? Well, the good news is, at least the ashes can't burn down.
There'll always be a few fires to put out around the office, unless it's not around anymore. But when you have a disaster plan, you can adapt, recover, and stay in control. Go to Ready.gov and make your company's plan. Ready.gov. It's never too late to protect your business until it is. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, Disaster Recovery Hour. WVNJ 1160 AM, The Voice. Every Tuesday between 1 and 2 p.m. It's a live show. Guests, call-ins, comments page, drhradio.net, drhradio.net. Hey, how about one more time, drhradio.net. Any comments from today's show, last week's show, previous shows, feel free to do it, and I can also call up those guests, and they can comment directly to you. I do have a comment from Steve. It's, how do you think the towns did in this recent disaster? Some better than others, gentlemen?
Yeah, well, driving around, I saw all the towns. I saw a lot of people out there working. So you have to really tip your hat off to the volunteer firefighters, all the OEM people, all the police, everybody who's been out there working to help people make sure they don't get killed out there. First of all, with all the traffic lights, Paramus was really just decimated with some of the major roads and the traffic issues that are having there with those traffic lights. So some places more than others, it's correct. But I think there was enough there for everybody.
Yeah, right. In these types of storms, for me as a business owner, it's either in direct impact into a house, or it's pretty much trees. My backyard is destroyed. I haven't gotten to it yet, and she's not too happy with me about that. But sometime over the weekend, I'll get to it. But you see a lot of the down trees into vehicles and into roofs. Hopefully no penetrating. I've been on some jobs where they've been like spears right through from one floor to the other. And actually in Hawthorne a couple of years ago, this just missed a woman who was lying in bed. So it was like, you don't know.
Well, that's it. And I talked to someone today who said, my power went out, my battery backup died, and my sub pumps died. Now I've got a basement full of water because we have no electricity. So he may have escaped tree damage.
Right.
But because there was no power, he's got major flooding in his basement.
Right. And then those are the calls. Again, my day job, I do that for a living, disaster recovery of property. That's the calls. It's taken a couple of days, but that's what the calls I'm receiving now. It's now the power's been out for a while. The power, there's almost a million people in Bergen County and, 700,000 in your county. That's a lot of people on this whole area, and we're taxing these the power lines. People talk about going underground. That's just not a feasible option.
No, it costs millions and billions of dollars to put all the utilities underground. And again, you can have underground utilities, and if there's a problem with someone who doesn't and takes down a transfer station or a substation, even though if you're underground, you're still not going to have any power.
Right. And Mother Nature with our trees, and you said the shade commissions, and if you start trimming and doing your due diligence prior to storm season, we always have a show about before the winter. I think it's going to be up in 2 weeks. Between trees and gutters and getting things away from the house, and just kind of doing a house cleaning to check it out for your preparedness. Let's talk. Governor Christie. It's not a political program, but flooding is my line of business, and you guys are advocating correcting that, because I'm always going to be. I'll always have work. There'll always be mishaps, unfortunately, from people. Unfortunately, you had those people in Teaneck who just passed away. We don't know what the exact cause yet, but it looks like they're self-inflicted. Trying to heat their house with no power, but. With the flooding issue, it's my everyday life, and I take it personally. After a while, you don't want to see the same faces. You're going to be elected officials. You want to see the same angst face of no power and flooding. Governor Christie is backing your ideas, and you're getting traction with that. So expand a little bit on that.
Well, I think if you've seen every major flooding, we've seen the governor come up to Passaic County to come to the public safety complex in Wayne to meet with mayors and engineers and OEM officials. I know he's visited Bergen County. Just if you talk to someone who's been devastated by a flood, and you talk about the look on their faces, yeah, the burden that they carry, it's just a terrible thing to experience, and it's something I wouldn't wish on anybody, but unfortunately, too many of our residents are going through it.
Yeah. Last week, I had, a couple weeks ago, I had a lieutenant from the fire department, Hackensack. 99% of fires can be preventable. When you have flooding, it's just there's that no control look.
Yeah, that's correct.
It's brutal. There's a question from Joanne. It says, I still have no power. My neighbors just got power from PSE&G. Says it's a grid problem. I want to get a generator. This is the third time in a little over a year. I have gone with no electric for 3+ days. This seems to be happening more. It's definitely happening more, and I think it's going to continue to happen more. That's my opinion. What am I looking at spending? I guess that would be a question I need to answer to you later on, Joanne, regarding...
It's funny. I want to find the same answer because I'm thinking of the same thing.
I would call... I did have the generator. I'm actually going to be installing an in-ground one with natural gas in the springtime. It's expensive, but you know what? The average cost for a finished basement and where we live, you know, we don't live cheap in a cheap area. It's like $20,000-$25,000.
Well, I think if you get a generator, you have to buy blackout curtains so your neighbors don't realize that you're sitting there with power.
Yeah, I've run over a couple of extension cords from one house to another in this last couple of days.
But I've seen some of these generators priced. They could go somewhere about $2,000 to $3,000, right? If I remember.
There's the better ones.
There's some really, really, you know.
Well, it depends
small
on. The capability of the generator. Yeah. Depends how much of your grid you want to work in your house.
I'd call Academy Electric, guys. Yeah. Joanne, call Academy Electric. Ask for Dan O'Brien. I've been working with him for years with the secondary power and generator and stuff like that. But, Fernando, I'll square you away with that.
Could I use your name, too?
Yeah, sure. You know, Chris Plunkett, disaster recovery. But, gentlemen, I appreciate you coming on. I know you guys both have 2 o'clock appointments, and I know you're going back to teach a class. Future stars, we can only hope, right? And the last comments on the flooding, district to district, and what you guys want to accomplish when you get into Trenton, and I know you will, is get community, get public and private to collusion and try to solve our issues with this water, because it's not going away.
No, the flooding problem is not going away. It's a question of trying to ease the residents' burdens, to ease the town's burdens, and even to ease the utility company's burdens. I don't think anybody, with maybe the exception of you, profits from flooding.
All right. That hurt.
But I want to just thank you for giving us the time to come in and talk about some of these issues. It's been enlightening for me.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much. You know, one last thing. You know, we had the storms, all these storms. There's an overtime cost. You know,
we're
municipalities. We're gonna, and people say, well, you know, we should have been better prepared. Come on, with storms,
you can never be better prepared because you have to be able to go out there and pick up the tree limbs,
exactly,
and pick up the branches, and that takes manpower and it takes equipment.
Yeah,
it's going to take some leadership, and I think that's been pretty much shown in the last few storms. I think Christy has been out there trying to make sure we're prepared, and I think the local people have been doing a great job. Unfortunately, you know, this is nature.
I know.
It's tough to deal with.
Yeah, without a doubt. Gentlemen, again, thank you very much. Hope we answered some questions and people out there got some good intel on that. And let's sign off with the election day is when?
It's next Tuesday, November 8th. Polls are open from, I guess, 6 to 8 or 6 to 9, depending.
6 to 8 in Bergen County.
And 6 to 8 in Passaic County because we like to go to bed early there.
And you can find us in column 2.
And then the website is www.nj38th.com. Gentlemen, again, thank you very much, and hopefully I can talk to you soon.
Thank you.
All right. Bill, can we go to a quick break, and then we'll come back and we'll close it out. Thanks a lot.
If you missed part of today's program or you want to hear the show again, you can do so with the Disaster Recovery Hour podcast. Just go to www.drhradio.net, enter your email address, and the show will be delivered to your inbox. Keep you and your family safe by getting information on being prepared with the Disaster Recovery Hour podcast, available at drhradio.net. When disaster comes into your life and attacks your property, you need action fast. Service Master Restoration by CPP will find the visible and hidden damage caused by a fire or flood. With quick response and correctly applied damage mitigation protocols, Service Master Restoration by CPP can save you valuable time and money and get you back in the game of life. Anytime disaster strikes, quick, focused action is what can save your property. CPP's professional staff is on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. To reach Service Master Restoration by CPP anytime, visit them on the web at www.cppems.com. That's cppems.com, cppems.com. Service Master Restoration by CPP, servicing the New York Metro and Tri-State area.
At least one in four businesses affected by a disaster never reopened. Let me repeat, at least one in four businesses affected by a disaster, whether it's man-made or natural, never reopen. Yet far too many business owners put off their company's disaster.
You have five new messages.
Can you sign it for me, please?
Don't forget those copies for the presentation.
Disaster plan because they let too many day-to-day things get in the way.
Is that 3 p.m. going to be all right with your schedule?
Hey, don't forget that stand proposals due.
Be in the conference room in 5 minutes, please.
To save your messages, press 1.
Receive dispatch, truck 47 en route to 614 North Front Street.
Received. Be advised, truck 47, heavy fire showing from the 9th floor. Second alarm being dispatched at this time.
Disasters are unpredictable, but when you have a plan in place, you can better adapt, recover, and stay in control. So don't wait. Visit ready.gov to make your company's disaster plan. Ready.gov. It's never too late to protect your business until it is. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
Victor Ray, this is Scorpion 23, traveling west on MSR Vernon. Four Victor, 16 packs, request MSR status. Over. Roger, Scorpion 23, all MSRs and AOR red past 24 hours. Three IEDs on MSR Vernon.
Victor X-ray, this is Scorpion 23. One Victor hit by an IED at Grant. Mike Bravo, 310-737, taking a small arms fire. Request QRF and medevac at this location. Over.
In war, there will always be casualties. And for our wounded warriors, coming home can sometimes be a battle in itself. American troops who suffer traumatic injuries need the support of every American. Join us and send your message of support to our wounded warriors and their families at USO.org. The USO, until everyone comes home.
Hey, here we are back. Welcome back, Disaster Recovery Hour. I'm your host, Chris Plunkett. Every Tuesday we do the show. It's between 1 and 2 p.m. It is live at here at WVNJ AM, The Voice. We're actually, as the studio head here told me, that we're running on a generator because we got to keep up and fired up and getting out information. There's other shows, obviously, that you get people listen to on this program, on this station. And the station was not unaffected. It's part of the masses, like everybody else, with this storm. It's just, you know what, it seems like every month I have more information or another incident that I can report on, and it's unfortunate because it's kept me in the know with a lot of stuff. And a friend of mine was talking to me yesterday about that email that came out. It seems to be regarding, you know, December 2nd or December 3rd with power being turned back on. There was a glitch in the phone line, I think it was. I think because I called somebody at the OEM free here in the county, and he said it was a phone mishap. And you know what? That's understandable. You talk about with no power, no cable, which is not good for my kids, and which boredom sets in and they drive us crazy. Thank God we got some chores knocked out of the way. But you know, forget about that stuff. Let's just talk about the issue at hand, and that's this past storm and just some of the information. You know, Irene, just so you know, FEMA extended its deadline for Long Island out there in Nassau and Suffolk counties to December 15th. That intel comes in from my good friend and president of the ACP of Long Island, Andy Weitzberg. Thank you, Andy. I just want to say thanks for Fernando Alonso, who, like I said, he's a professor over there at FDU and also the mayor of Hawthorne. The 38th district runs along some waterways, and we have to do something. Like I said to you before, and I said it before, you know, I'm in business. This is what I do for a living. But listen, there's always going to be pipes that break. So there's plenty of work there, and there'll be the occasional flooding. But I think, there's more blacktop, there's more development, you know, there's less areas for water to go, you know. So where's it going to go? It's going to pond, it's going to pool, it's going to enter people's homes, through basements and also with the power system. You know, we lean heavy on the power in our region. I think Bergen County is the most densely populated county in the country. Then you have the outer boroughs, you have Manhattan. I mean, we just demand a lot of juice. So, with Joanne's question to the website, drhradio.net, you know, what am I looking at with spending for generators? Joanne, I'd give Dan a call, or somebody at his office a call. It's Academy Electric, EPS, Electrical Power Systems. Dan's always there for me, business wise and personally. He's a hands-on guy. It's a nice big firm, but they definitely give that personal touch to it, and that's one of the things I like about Dan. And, you know, he wears his heart on his sleeve. You know, he's a problem solver, and I've had some major fires that Dan's really helped me navigate the power issue, and try to get these homes up and running and these people's lives back to normalcy, and whatever normalcy is for a particular person. You know. So with the power issue, Joanne, you can listen to the show. Dan's been on the show. Dan's got the commercial door of the show, and we got numerous. We also have, you know, the Wounded Warriors and other FEMA information, SBA. You know, the SBA is still taking paperwork for loans for Irene. Hopefully, people and or businesses have been and have gotten up before this storm hit, and hopefully they didn't get affected too bad. But you know, we're talking about an anomaly here with all the leaves on the trees and the amount of snow. You know, if this is in the middle of winter, you know, we might see some power lines, but we wouldn't see the amount of trees that are down. And I'm not some arborist guy, you know. I'm not the autumn tree guy. Is the guy I use. He's out of Emerson, here in Bergen County. He's a dynamite guy. A guy named Joe. He's another service vendor for me that is always there when I call. So I'm fortunate to have a plethora of reliable individuals who have different disciplines in the world of emergencies, whether it's power systems like Danny or the tree service like Joe at Autumn Tree, and also on the IT side. You know, I lean on Andy pretty hard about companies that are primarily consultants, and they use the computer system as their driving revenue force. That's what it's really about. It's about staying up in business. I read a funny, not funny article, but about home insurance rates. It's not like driving a red Corvette and your insurance is going to automatically go up after you have a flood or you have a fire in your house. It really goes on the history of the claims, and so don't get all spooked about it. A lot of people, you know, there's a fair amount of people from Irene who haven't placed claims yet, and they're sitting on it because they're afraid that their rates will go up, but yet they're sitting on, you know, it was $3,000 worth of damage originally, but now it's $10,000 because the whole place is creeping with mold. So that's, you know, it doesn't cost a single penny to make a phone call. And just like if you saw somebody suspicious in your neighborhood, you would call the police department, 911, and say, listen, I see a suspicious car. You know, it didn't cost you anything. It's that due diligence I continually talk about. And so during this storm, you get a tree, it's on your shed or it's on your it's on someone else's property. Place the claim. Again, it's a claim center. They give you a number, and they'll have an adjuster take a look at you, or your management company, or if it's, you know, your the place you live in, it's funded by the city, like New York City is public housing. I think there's this misnomer that people don't care, but a lot of people do. They really do. The reverse 911s and the 311 and the 211 and those are good services. And the government has them set up for a reason. So exercise them and utilize them. With the winter months coming up, this storm might have some kind of silver lining about being prepared for the winter months, and also with your space heaters and your candle usage. I will tell you this: I'll give you a little something. I kind of bugged out the other night. We had a candle that went on for about 12 hours. No one even knew about it, and that's a guy in the business. So it can even happen to a guy like myself. One of those candles slipped by in the dark the other day. It was in a deep recessed bowl, so there is a. So I did weather the storm on that, if you will. And some of the trees, a lot of the trees are down. Trick or treating was the PSA announcement yesterday with the kids trick or treating. So that went pretty smoothly. There was no mishaps that I was told about. But your power and the overusage of power that we're leaning on. We have so many multiple devices in our homes now, four or five average, laptops and cell phones and iPads and iPhones and all the rest of that stuff. It's taxing the situation. So you might want to take a look at backup power and also backup battery power backup for your sump pumps also. I think they last anywhere from 6 to 8 hours. You might want to investigate that, some pricing, it's a little peace of mind. Because the average, lately in the last 2 years, I read something, somebody gave me through it, from the D.C. branch of they monitor the power companies in this country, and a guy gave me a little LinkedIn email about the average time of being out of a particular neighborhood, and it used to be hours, but now it's in the days now, and that's across the country. It's not going away anytime soon. So you might want to look at some backup systems, if you will. And there's a fair amount out there. Let's take a quick little break, and we'll be back and knock out the show. Right, be right back.
Do you know that there are some emergency shelters that have no emergency backup generators? You can be prepared and have your own emergency generator for your home and business. Hi, I'm Dan O'Brien from Academy Electrical Contractors Incorporated, a full-service electrical contractor servicing the tri-state area since 1981. Our specialty is generators. We give you a complete turnkey installation, service your existing generator, rent you the temporary machine for that planned shutdown or that unexpected power failure. Academy Electrical Contractors can install a generator to protect your family and business from a power grid failure. Power your heating and air conditioning system, keep your refrigerator and freezer running, power your well pump, or power your sump pump. Visit us on the web at academyelectrical.com. That's academyelectrical.com. Or give me a call at 877-SPARKIES. That's 877-772-7597. Academy Electrical Contractors, generating satisfaction 24/7 since 1981.
When disaster comes into your life and attacks your property, you need answers. Service Master Restoration by CPP is the answer. Service Master Restoration by CPP is a full-service emergency services and restoration company. With 25 years of experience in emergency management and restoration, our seasoned team of skilled professionals is ready to assess damages and restore your property to its pre-loss condition.
Who do I call first? What about insurance? Is it safe to stay here? What do I do next?
Fire, smoke, water, or mold, Service Master Restoration by CPP restores your property and your peace of mind. To reach Service Master Restoration by CPP anytime, visit them on the web at www.cppems.com. That's cppems.com, cppems.com. Service Master Restoration by CPP, servicing the New York Metro and Tri-State area.
Welcome back, Disaster Recovery Hour. I'm your host, Chris Plunkett. I know, Dave, you got a little music going in the background? Thanks, buddy. I can't hear that. I don't think people can hear me. Is everything good now? It's good? All right. Lori, it's so true. I don't put insurance claims because I don't want my insurance to go up. Again, like I told you, it's just a claim. What happens is an adjuster will call you. Most likely, and this time, you know, there's a lot of guys going crazy right now. So don't blame if you don't get the personal touch at this particular time. And they've been going nuts since Irene came to town. But with that, put in the claim. It's your due diligence as a policy owner. And it says in the back of the small print somewhere. It definitely says it's throughout most policies. And if someone wants to prove me wrong, they can. You know, I've been wrong before, but I don't think I am on this. That you know, policy owner is supposed to mitigate to the best abilities, and that means further damage, I should say. So, with that, Lori, do that, or anybody else listening. You know what? Trees on your house. You don't know if it punctured the roof. Just place the claim. You put them on notice. And then a little piece of information. Also, renters, if you rent an apartment or even rent a home, and I'm on one of those right now, you can place a claim, and also you can apply for emergency housing through FEMA. FEMA's got something for renters too. You know, the numbers obviously is not as much, but you can do that. There's assistance out there. Void, you know, volunteer organizations after disasters is different. There's different areas. There's the Passaic, there's Bergen, there's Long Island. They have different voids, the New York City Void. I'm hoping to have somebody on from the New York City Void in the next couple of weeks. And Lori, yes, we do have feelers out there for brokers and insurance people to come on the show. They've been extremely busy. We'd like to have their information, but sometimes the navigation on that is difficult. Some of them, they sell different products, and it's sometimes it's difficult for them to get clearance. But we've been working hard on that. We're going to knock out the show. Another good show, and I hope everyone enjoyed the information that the future assemblyman from the 38th District, that's Fernando Alonso, and who's a professor at FDU, and Rich Goldberg, who is now present day, he's the mayor of Hawthorne. He's over there by Passaic, so he sees a lot of flooding continuing. Alonso and myself, we're in the same neck of the woods, so we see it too. And that's really it. I thought it was the informative part. That's what the show is about. I get excited about that. I get jacked up about it. So we'll sign off. One more thing: bring home our troops. That disaster and our other wars. You know what? Whether we officially said we're out of Iraq, people got killed there again. So please bring home our troops. God bless our country, and be safe. And we'll talk to you soon.